Welcome to A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale. So grateful to have another episode and to be sitting across the table from my good friend and probably considered my boss, Alicia Swoop. So grateful to have you on this podcast to hear a little about some of the work you did before you came to Church of God Ministries. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
So we're sitting in your office here in Anderson, Indiana, and one of the things that I've commented about this before, your office still looks like you just started this job because you literally jumped in like your first day on the job. There was no like, hey, take a week and figure things out. Like it was, we're going, we need you in this meeting, let's move. But you've been here at Church of God Ministries for how many years now?
2 years.
Wow. Yeah. And it has not stopped since the moment you started.
That's why there's no decor on my walls.
But that's just the nature of what you do. And for those that don't know, what is your exact title and your role? Kind of what falls under your purview here at Church of God Ministries?
Yes. So I am the Chief Operating Officer for Church of God Ministries. And there are several things that fall under my oversight, but some of the more key elements that fall under my oversight are HR department, our communications, which includes both internal and external communications throughout our whole movement, and then our IT department.
Wow.
So
those are big areas. I mean, communications is a huge thing when you think about communicating to a movement that certainly a movement here in the United States, but that has a footprint outside the United States. I mean, that's a huge undertaking. We're so grateful that you're here, grateful to get to work with you, and grateful to hear a little bit about some of the work that you did before coming here. So give us a little bit of background about yourself. Where did you grow up? Help us understand who you are.
Sure. So I grew up in a small town that people may have heard of, Akron, Ohio. LeBron James put the city on the map.
There you go.
It's a small town in Ohio. I am a pastor's kid. My mom was a pastor for 40 years, pretty much my whole life. And so I grew up in a very warm church community. Very engaged in the community. Because I was a pastor's kid, I served in every role that you can think of, from janitor to usher to greeter to administrator to the church had an academy. So I worked at the academy for some time. So I've done a little bit of everything. I have had an opportunity. Most of my work history has been in the nonprofit field. And so from working in a mental health facility, which was a faith-based mental health facility, to again working at the church's academy. Yep. I served as an administrative role there. I've been a youth director for our church at one point in time. And then I have worked at another church when I relocated to California. At some point during my journey, and I served as the executive assistant to the senior pastor there in Los Angeles. And then I've also served, which we'll talk a little bit more about, at a homeless shelter as a campus administrator. And I also served as a volunteer manager. So I helped with partnerships.
Wow. So that you, just to reiterate, you grew up in Ohio, but you have spent time out in California on one coast and then also in Atlanta on the other coast. So you've seen, I mean, you've seen our country from sea to shining sea. did you enjoy those ministry roles? Like, has that been something that's been fulfilling for you throughout your life?
Yeah. So ministry is in my veins. One, I probably was born into ministry. But also one of the things before I left Ohio, one of the things that I spent a tremendous amount of time doing, not because I sought it out, but because it sought me out, was serving as a mentor to teenage and young adult women. Yeah. So I've always been passionate about serving people, about walking with them, empowering them, pouring into them, just doing life with them.
Yeah.
And I think that really shaped my experiences once I, you know, relocated to California and Atlanta. Both cities, Los Angeles and Atlanta, incredibly different. Most people that I met in one city hated the other city and vice versa. But
did you enjoy both of them?
I did.
Okay.
I enjoy both of them. They both have very different things to offer.
Yeah.
California is it felt like being on vacation for, you know, the amount of time that I was there. It's definitely not somewhere that I would want to raise a family, but it does have, you know, things to offer. And then Atlanta, it felt like a larger home, felt like a larger Akron to me.
That's cool.
You know, my brother and his family moved there. And so I had community there. So they both have, both cities have different things to offer. I enjoyed both for the season of life that I was in at the time that I was there.
Yep. That's awesome. And we're going to talk about your time in Atlanta. That's kind of the impetus for this conversation. I mean, you know, on this podcast, it's A World of Good, and we focus a lot on global ministry and engagement globally. But a lot of our folks that listen to the podcast or that engage with these conversations globally are also involved in ministry locally. You think about people that are involved with refugee ministry through like At Home in Paris may also be involved with refugee ministry in their own city. And so when I heard that you had some experience working with an organization that cared for people experiencing homelessness, I thought, oh man, that could be a really helpful conversation just to hear from someone who is in that world and some of your experiences there and some of your things that you would encourage churches to think about in terms of connecting with and engaging with those kinds of organizations. So before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about Atlanta Mission was the name of the organization. Tell us about that organization and what they do.
Yep. So Atlanta Mission still is the largest and oldest homeless shelter in the city of Atlanta.
Wow.
They were established in 1938.
Wow.
When I started working there, I started working with the Women and Children's Department. Let me back up and say that the mission of the organization is to transform through Christ the lives of those facing homelessness.
Wow.
And the vision is a community united to end homelessness one friend at a time. That has kind of morphed through the years. I think the mission is still the same. I think they kind of tweaked the vision some. But nevertheless, the heart of the organization is to end homelessness through transformation through Christ.
Wow. So this is a Christian organization. How does faith play a role in the work that Atlanta Mission did? Like, how does that permeate what they do?
Yeah, I think faith is the DNA of what they do, honestly. Atlanta Mission started as a soup kitchen during the Great Depression. Mm. And I believe that it was the heartbeat of the founder to show the love of Christ, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And the way that they were able to do that when they started was by serving food.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they think about homelessness, when they think about serving the homeless, that's the first thing that they think about is serving food.
Yeah.
And so as the years went on, they just expanded the services that they offered. Atlanta Mission, if I remember my facts correctly, that they were the first organization in the country to serve women.
Wow.
Yes. And so it's a really historic place.
Yeah.
But I believe that the faith and the transformation that the founders experienced through Christ inspired them to want to transform the lives of others. One of the taglines of Atlanta Mission is that hope lives here.
Mm.
So providing hope to people, regardless of what they're experiencing.
And I like that the idea of hope lives here. The word hope can incorporate both spiritual life, like the hope that we find in Christ, but also the hope of having a place to lay your head at nighttime or food. And so did you ever wrestle with were there ever conversations? Sometimes, especially in the U.S. church, we tend to separate like our spiritual life from our physical life, or we talk about evangelism or social action. What are we supposed to be doing? What one or the other? Or where do we focus as an organization that sounds both deeply rooted in its faith and also deeply rooted in helping people? How did you wrestle, or how did the organization understand themselves in light of that?
I think that's a really good question. I didn't wrestle because one of my core values is my faith. And so as I've journeyed through my work experience, that's one of the first things that I look for. Is this a place of faith? Is this a place of Christian faith? But I think for the organization, I don't think that they wrestled either. I think that was just a non-negotiable for them.
Yeah.
That everything that we do, we lead with Christ. We lead with the love of God. We lead with faith in God. And so I've always known Atlanta Mission to be a place that was very clear about who they are and what they're called to provide to others. And one of those fundamental things is we give them Christ.
Yeah.
Whether we give them Christ in a meal, we give them Christ in a bed, we give them Christ in an educational program for their children, we give them Christ.
Did you ever have people that felt like, oh, you're not doing enough evangelism, or there's not enough of that output, you know, you're doing too much social work, or was that something that the people that engaged with you just understood who you were?
I think that there's always going to be people who are displeased with how you do
things. Amen.
And so there are no specific instances that I can think of off the top of my head, but I'm 100% positive that in the 7 years that I was there, that I heard and received complaints, because one of the roles, the very first role that I held there, was as campus administrator for their two women and children's facilities. And my office was at the residential campus for women and children.
Wow.
And so I was the frontline man or woman to receive any complaints, questions, concerns. And again, I can't think of a specific instance, but sure. I'm positive. Yes.
Yeah. And I should have said this before, but when I looked online, we're talking about Atlanta Mission houses hundreds of people. I was thinking the numbers were like 400 to 500 on a daily basis, at least are housed there or connected. Is that sound about right? It's a high number. I was surprised at how it's a vast organization.
Yeah, it's probably grown since I've left. But at the time that I was there, there were four programmatic campuses. So two women and children's campuses and two men's campuses.
Okay.
And across all four campuses, they served at the time that I was there over 1,000 men, women, and children on a day-to-day basis.
Wow. That's incredible. Did you have opportunities to connect with churches through your work? Like, were there volunteers that came in that you interacted with? Was that a part of your work? And if so, what would you say to a church that either wants to engage with an organization that's working, that's helping people that are experiencing homelessness? What would you say to either encourage them or to like things to be aware of? Because again, as church people, we step into your world where you are working the day to day. You're doing this all the time. And I know when I served as a missions pastor, we worked with a couple of different organizations that were helping people experiencing homelessness. And we would step in once a month, you know? And so we saw this for an hour or two once a month, but the people we worked with were there every single day. And I always wondered, like, what do we do that bothers them? Or what do we do that if they were to be able to say, hey, when you do this, this is something you should think about. As someone who's now out of that, you know, what would you encourage church people to think about as they step into that space?
That is a fantastic question. When I first started working there, it was such an eye-opening experience. And I got to the place, I used to tell my coworkers and friends often, we need to go on tour. We need to go on tour and we need to tell people what to do and what to stop doing.
Yeah.
But let me first say, one of the engines of Atlanta Mission is volunteerism.
Wow. So then you deal with a lot of volunteers.
Yeah. Yeah. Because as you mentioned, operation is pretty large and it's expansive in the services that they offer. It's a holistic care program.
Yeah.
It also has a children's learning center for children.
Yeah.
And so it's a pretty expansive operation. And there's really no way in a nonprofit world to be able to do that work well without generous people who are generous with their time, talent, and treasure. So I want to say that first.
Yeah.
but as far as churches being engaged, absolutely. Atlanta Mission had individual volunteers and donors. They had church volunteers and donors. And, you know, we saw churches show up from coming in to serve a meal to hosting a game night to providing a spa day for the women to inviting our clients to their church, and they would come and provide transportation to whoever wanted to come to church on a weekly basis. There were, at the time that I was there, probably 2 to 3 different churches that would come and provide transportation. So the clients had options for what kind of church that they wanted to attend. And so I think as it relates to churches showing up, I would say to transform your mind for how you view serving and engaging with the homeless population. Mm. Again, that first thought is always, let's go to serve a meal. But there's more to a man than a need for a meal.
Yeah.
And so they need belonging. They need interaction. They need acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And so there are many other things that you can do. You know, it was great when people would come in and do a spa day. It was great when people wanted to volunteer to come and teach a class.
Mm.
Right. It was great when people wanted to come. And I don't want to I don't want to come to just serve a meal. Let me sit down while you're eating your meal and maybe we can just have a conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe we can just play a game of cards while you're waiting for to be served.
Yeah.
And so I think that those are ways that the churches can step in. It's great to bring a group and do some type of, systematic or formatted service or function. But it is also great when you show up to just hang out.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good reminder that I think at times we can get very programmatic, is a great word, where either the church wants to be able to say we served X number of people. So our focus is on, getting people in and out as quick as we can, which then makes them just a cog in a wheel, versus like we want to build relationships with these people, which would mean sitting down before the meal or after the meal, that actually provides dignity, recognizes the dignity and the humanity in another person, but isn't going to tally up your numbers if that's what you're looking for. So I do think that that motivation that we come in with, if the motivation is really to get to know someone and to care about them, that will transform what that time looks like. Whether it's just I'm serving because I've been asked to serve and I want to do this and get out, or whether I see these as people who are in a really difficult moment and do I have something that I can offer just in relationship and conversation with them?
Absolutely. And I would also say, ask what is needed.
Yeah.
A lot of times
we like to think we know what's needed.
That's right. That's right. When people would ask, what types of things do you all need?
Yeah.
They're thinking socks and blankets and, things of that nature. But one of the things, again, at the time that I was there, that we would discourage people from dropping off are blankets.
Mm.
And most people probably would think, well, why is that?
Yeah.
And the strategy to us asking people to not bring blankets was we're trying to encourage people to come off the streets. We don't want to make them comfortable on the streets.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, that was because there was a place for them to come. There are places where they have to survive on the streets.
Yeah, there aren't options.
That's right. And so again, that goes back to asking what's needed, because you can make an assumption. Umbrellas is something that people a lot of times don't think about.
Interesting.
So just asking, what is it that you all need? What do you see? Do you need diapers? Do you need, because one of the things that, again, if this was a residential facility, and so everything that you can imagine that someone needs, we provided. Wow. From bed linens to hygienic products to, the clothing, that extra clothing that their children may need, if they have an accident at school, we have to provide everything. And so it's a really extensive list of things that we need. And so again, going back to ask.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. I you said this earlier that, Atlanta Mission was one of the first to engage with women. I think that continues to be, you also mentioned asking the question. I know that in a lot of communities that I've been a part of, one of the things that often comes up is that there tends to be outreach, engagement, or locations where men can go and receive services. But women and children, it seems to be in a lot of communities, I hear over and over, like, if we need anything, we need another place for women and children. We need another place for women and children. Is that fair to say? Is that what you, you guys had two facilities. Did you hear that the value of having a place for women and children? Because that's at least what I hear in a lot of communities that I'm engaged in.
Absolutely. So we live in a patriarchal society. I remember clear as day. It was probably pretty close to when I got there. When I first started working there, I was in tears every day.
Wow.
Every single day.
Just from the stories you were hearing, or?
From amazement that there was a place like this.
Gotcha.
To being astonished that children who are homeless are laughing, smiling, playing.
Yeah.
Completely unaware.
Yeah.
Of the type of situation that they're in. Amazed at the fact that these women, many of them, while desperate for help, also open to the gospel.
Yeah.
To watch them sit and soak in all the information that they were learning, to watch them again laugh and enjoy knowing that they're in the type of situation they've experienced, the tragedies that they've experienced, the stories.
Yeah.
We could sit here for hours and talk about the stories. I mean, most people, when they think about homelessness, they think about drugs, they think about mental health. But what you don't think about is someone's house caught on fire and they lost everything in the fire. What you don't think about is someone who lost a loved one and it spiraled them to a place where they were unable to function and they lost everything.
Yeah.
What you don't, there's so many things that you don't consider. Yep. We always go straight to these, you know, and drugs is a thing.
Yeah.
Mental health is a thing.
But that becomes our only narrative. That's right. This is the only thing.
That's right. Yeah. The stories. But I remember when I first started working there, there was a lady who came in. She came in the wrong door, but some of the staff was standing there. So we saw her kind of just trying to get in. So we let her in and we were trying to find out what she needed, what was going on, how we could help her, because admission happened at a certain actually admission did not happen at the residential facility. It happened at the day program facility. Okay. And so, but they were, I think they were closed at the time maybe.
Okay.
So really there wasn't much that we could do. We could, you know, we had a full kitchen and so we could go get our meal, you know. We had little tips and ways to help people until we could get them in through the admissions process. But we let her in. We were trying to figure out what was going on. She was distraught. She was in tears. And we're asking her questions, trying to calm her down, trying to figure out what's going on. And she said, I remember her saying, me and my husband got into a fight and he put me out with nothing.
Oh, my.
Going back to this idea of living in a patriarchal society, so many women are at the... They are covered by the men in their families.
Yep.
And so if the men decide, hey, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore.
Yeah.
They need a place to go.
Yep. Whose name is on the rental agreement? It just becomes very,
That's right. And so, and just hearing that, like an argument.
Yeah.
With a loved one can cause you to become homeless.
Yeah.
That was just so... It was mind-reeling for me.
Yeah.
But to go back to your question about women and children, I think this is what makes women more susceptible.
Yep.
And it makes them more fragile to having to have these other options.
Yep.
You know, if things go left at home, do I have a place to go? Do I have, you know, a somewhere to feed my children? Do I have somewhere in the midst of a hurricane? I remember one time there was a hurricane that happened that came through while we were serving the homeless. You know, we were an essential business, regardless of what happened, a tornado, a hurricane, a COVID.
Yeah. You know? You're going to stay open during all that.
That's right. And I remember a hurricane came through and some of our staff, they went out into the streets. You know, if we had beds, they just pulled as many people. We set up emergency beds.
Wow.
They just went and got people. So things like that. People have to have a place to go.
Yeah.
Women have to have a place to go. Yeah. Children have to have a place to go because they are the most susceptible, unfortunately, to being in these types of situations.
And I would just say anyone who's interested in engaging in helping people who are experiencing homelessness, one of the first questions to ask in your community is, do we have a place for women and children? If not, I think that's an incredible starting point, because I just think there are so many communities, ours included, that is one of the biggest needs, is finding ways to support and care for the women and children in community.
And I would add to that, a question for them to ask is there a place for children over a certain age to go?
Okay.
And specifically, is there a place for boys over a certain age to go? So we did not, at the time, again, that I was there, we were unable to accept males over the age of 12.
Wow. So once they're adults, they could be in, but that 12 to 18 range was not,
because it put our women,
absolutely,
you know, who have been traumatized and have gone through so many different things, it put them in a very challenging position.
Yeah.
And so we couldn't accept boys over a certain age, and so we had partners who, it's like, hey, if we can't accept this person for whatever reason, we have a place that we can send you.
But also a child, a boy at 12 years old shouldn't be in a men's facility either. I mean, it becomes a real challenge to figure out where that space is.
Yeah.
If someone's looking at an organization that they want to support and engage with in their community, you made a comment earlier that I think is really important. You talked about the fact that you guys did holistic programs. There's a lot of places that are working, you know, with people that are experiencing homelessness that may be really, that may not offer all of the programs that are necessary. What are some of the things that you would say, if you're going to engage with an organization, here are just some really quick questions that I would ask. Are they faith-based? You know, but also about programming, because I think that's an important one. Not that there's anything wrong with just supporting an organization that just feeds people. We obviously need to feed people as well. That doesn't necessarily deal with the root issues. And it sounds like Atlanta Mission was trying to understand the whole person and deal with all those root issues. So what are the other questions you would recommend that they ask?
So we know that the basic needs are going to be met in most homeless shelters, which is, of course, shelter, a bed, food. But I think that one of the next questions that we need to ask are, what type of life skills are they receiving?
Yeah.
Yes, people who are homeless, they are innovative in how to survive. But do they have healthy coping strategies and life skills?
Yeah.
I think that would be the next set of questions that I would ask.
That's great.
I would also ask about, particularly if it's a place that serves children, what are your plans for this child's education?
Yeah.
Whether you have an in-house place to care for them, yep, or if you have a partnership with the school. So we had Atlanta Mission had a child care program for pre-K, but they had a partnership with a charter school in the area where the children were bused back and forth to school if they were school age. So I would ask that if there's a place with children. But I think those are probably the two main things that I would ask, because the reality of it is that you can't save everybody. And yep, so there's some people who they may get to a place, and we've experienced this, Atlanta Mission experiences this as well. They may get to a point where they don't want to follow your rules anymore. Some people will willingly go back to a place of survival on the streets to be able to do things how they want to do them. And that is their choice. But what have you equipped them with should they make that choice to survive at a higher level, to survive in a more healthy way, to make better decisions? And so I think that's probably what my main focus and encouragement for people to ask.
Last question we love to ask people: what good is God doing in your world?
That's a great question. I love it. I love it. It helps us to focus on the good.
Right, yes.
Right.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, but I think that there's a lot of good that's happening. I think that this particular timing that we are in, there are a lot of shakings that are happening.
That's a good word.
Yeah, there's a lot of shakings that are happening. But I think the beautiful thing about shaking is that it shakes everything that hinders you from being able to see truth, that hinders you from being able to truly see God.
Yeah.
It exposes things that may not have been healthy for you.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a good even in the shaking. I think one of the good things for me is that I feel like the Lord is really settling me into the assignments and purposes that He has for me. I think those are some good things. And I want to say this too, just going back really quickly to something that I learned at Atlanta Mission that I think is good. We want the people around us. One of my personal life models is to leave things and people better than you found them.
Okay.
And one of the things that I picked up at Atlanta Mission that kind of fits into that is to always show love, to make sure that people know that you care, and to make sure that they know and believe that you can help them.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Well, thank you, Alicia. You know, honestly, as you use the word shaking, the image that came to my mind are, you know, those machines that go around that shake trees to have the fruit fall so that you can capture it. Like, and sometimes the shaking is what provides the fruit, right? That's what brings the sustenance. And so it can feel traumatic, but at the same time, it can provide new life and new opportunity. And so in my mind, that's what I was seeing when you said that. And I thought, yes, like it does feel like we're being shaken, but that can provide new opportunities. That can provide sustenance, and that can be exciting even in the midst of the challenge.
I'm going to use that, but I'll give you credit.
You don't have to give me credit. Thank you. Alicia, we're so grateful you're here working at our Church of God Ministries. Grateful to get to work with you. And thanks for just taking us into this world of organizations that are supporting people that are experiencing homelessness. And thanks for challenging us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter, at A World of Good Pod, on Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.